This week on Straight Talk Africa, Ghana voted for change. Former President John Dramani Mahama staged a political comeback after defeating Vice President Mahamudu Bawumia in last Saturday's elections. Will the new president be able to contain the spiraling economic and cost of living crisis plaguing his country? Will he be able to create jobs for his people? Straight Talk Africa starts right now. Welcome to Straight Talk Africa, coming to you from our headquarters in Washington, D.C. I'm your host, Vincent Macquarie. Ghana's former leader, John Dramani Mahama, was declared the winner of the presidential election with 55.6% of the vote. Ghanaians expressed their discontent with the ruling party over the country's worst cost of living crisis in a generation. These elections are also seen by the international community as a litmus test for a smooth democratic transition of power. For more on this historic election, we go to our viewer, Paul Ndio, who is in Accra and has been observing firsthand the elections. Hi, Paul. Now, first thing we want to... Hi, let's talk about just the conduct of the elections. We know that in many African countries, election time is a time of tension and worry. How was it like there as you witnessed the process take place?
Vincent, this was one of the most peaceful, most well-organized elections that I've covered in a long time, compared to the rest of African countries where you have security agents engaging the local people. The security in this particular election was very, very relaxed. There was police presence on the ground, but really just observe and nothing else. I was able to at least six polling stations. I did not see anything that was out of the ordinary. So when it comes to organization, for sure, I think the Electoral Commission here did a thorough job in trying to organize these elections.
And also, of course, there's always the question of are the elections free, fair, and credible? Most times, you'll see some candidates even going to court before the election results are announced. How has it been like in Ghana?
You know, a lot of people talk about Ghana as a beacon of democracy for Africa. Yes, indeed, it is. I was remarkably shocked when I heard the current vice president, Mahamudu Bawumia, conceded. I was actually invited for that press conference, but by the time we got there, he was already done. So it speaks to the credibility of the process, the country, where the country is heading. They have embraced democracy compared to the neighboring countries where, in some cases, we have military regimes taking over. So when it comes to Ghana, I think what happened for... I think it set a precedent for all the other countries that when you lose, for sure, they looked at their own internal polling and the results were not good. They looked at everything else. Everything pointed to the opposition winning. So because of that, he was able to call it early, and he called his opposition leader, now president-elect Mahama, and considered defeat. And that's how things have been so far. As you can see, I'm at the headquarters. It's quiet, it's calm, even though there are some pockets of violence that have broken up across the country. Largely, supporters are over the opposition because they want to take over jobs before even the current president leaves office. So they are ready to take over.
Now, let's actually talk about some of those realities. Promises were made. What are people telling you they want to see the incoming president do as soon as he takes over the reins of power?
You know, when you're campaigning, you have to use some kind of a romantic language or whatever language you call it. But you have to appeal to the consciousness of the people so they can vote for you. But when you are governing, the reality is different. So all the things that we are talking about, the economy, the unemployment, things not working for an ordinary Ghanaian, these things are going to come to bear. Pressure is going to come to bear. So we have to wait and see how President-elect John Mahama pulls off this. Because voters, as I just said a while ago, they're already agitated. They're looking for jobs. They were promised jobs, and they already take up those jobs. So we have to wait and see how he pulls this off.
So he's under pressure even before he takes over. Very quickly, what do we know about the process of transfer of power, the inauguration? When and how is it done in Ghana?
So very smoothly. For example, today the two leaders have met. They were supposed to exchange their presentaries and, you know, come the show around, just like it's done in the United States. When somebody loses, the incumbent invites the winning candidate to sit down. It's exactly the same thing that happened today. But as far as the inauguration is concerned, that's going to happen in January. So we still have a couple of days to prepare for that. But from what I see, everything is going to be smooth and transparent. And so far, it looks like people are moving on about their business. As you can see, there was so much commotion or chaos around the headquarters, but it's empty. Mm-hmm. What I noticed differently, though, is that now the state security has taken over the security of the premises. That's the only difference that I've noticed so far.
Remarkable. And you've been doing a great job covering those elections. Thank you very much, Paul, for that report. Well, that's Paul Ndio, VOA Africa reporter. Now, John Dramani Mahama served as president from 2012 to 2016, and he campaigned on renegotiating Ghana's $3 billion IMF bailout and easing business regulations. He promised to introduce a 24-hour triple shift work system, enact tax reforms, and invest $10 billion in infrastructure. Now, for more insight into these elections and the challenges that lie ahead for the new president, I have with me in studio Kweku Nwoma. He is professor of international politics at American University. And in Accra, the capital of Ghana, I'm joined by Kojo Asante. He's the director for policy engagement and partnerships of the Center for Democratic Development. Gentlemen, welcome to Straight Talk Africa.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Let me start with you. Asante, you know, in Swahili, Asante means thank you. If I may begin with you. Some people look at this election as maybe not an endorsement necessarily of Dramani Mahama, but an indictment of the outgoing party. What's your take? What are you hearing?
Yes, I think you can read that very clearly. The verdict of the citizens was one expressing disappointment with the performance of the incumbent government, and really delivered a mandate that was across the country, even in the strongholds of the MPP. They expressed that, you know, dissatisfaction, and in two ways. And so either they went and voted for President Mahama, the opposition, or they didn't vote at all, or they stayed at home. And actually, I think the turnout figures we are looking at is most likely going to be around 63-64%. That will probably be the third lowest turnout that we have had under the Fourth Republic. So that is there, and I think that also kind of sets the challenge for President Mahama. In terms of, you know, reassuring the citizens that whatever doubts or hesitation they have about his last appearance, he is going to redeem himself. Mm-hmm. So the next couple of days, I think, is going to be quite crucial for how the government, you know, sets off.
Yes. Professor Nwoma, we know that way back 2016, John Dramani Mahama lost the election, ostensibly because people thought he had failed miserably. It was called Mr. Doomso because of the power cut. His government was accused of corruption. Now he has a road to power on this promise of resetting Ghana. What does that tell you? Is it about you know, people forgiving him for the past, or is it that the ruling party, you know, set up the stage for him to make that comeback?
Yeah, so as Kojo said, this was more a vote against the MPP than a vote for the NDC. Ghana has settled into this comfortable rotation amongst the two parties. We have a duopoly. So essentially, when the ruling party fails to deliver after 8 years, we switch over. And so I don't think that the NDC could have lost this election. If the MPP had won, that would have been really, really surprising. But there's nothing surprising there. And, you know, we go back to Mahama because he's the next guy. You know, it's time to get rid of this party after 8 years. And so he becomes a default candidate.
Yeah, but it's an interesting thing that he's the not only the next guy from the other party, but he's coming back and there's a baggage.
Yes.
Asante, in terms of, some of the promises that have been made, I mean, there really are many promises. The economy is doing so badly. There's the $3 billion IMF loan. The people are crying out for jobs, for, prices of goods. Did John Mahama overpromise, and is there risk there?
Yes, I mean, it's incredible when you sometimes listen to the campaign that as if we were, this is a country that is, has such a huge surplus that we can do so many things. But we are broke. Generally, we've sort of defaulted on our debt. It would hit, most of our interest payments would hit by 2026, 2027. President Mahama is coming into a very tough economic situation. And we don't even know what really the current state is, because even in the last couple of months, we experienced a drought. We had to go into our, sinking funds and so on to try and use money. So we really don't even know how bad it is currently. So I think that as for the promising, it's completely way out there. There is a lot of expectation. Most people wanted to have their say on election day. And now they have very high expectations that somehow things might begin to change. And I think the lesson or the advice for President Mahama is that a lot of these economic situations are not going to resolve themselves quickly. So the key really is how he governs. Mm-hmm. And one thing Ghanaians, I think, rejected about of the MPP was the lack of consultation. That a lot of the decisions that were made were straight from manifestos straight to implementation without much consultation with the public, like the e-levy taxation and all of those things that people really were upset about. Mm-hmm. So if he's going to succeed, he really needs to get the governance right, participation of people, consultation of people, so that he can have the time and support, to carry out some of this very difficult task.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's time for a short break. When we return, we'll continue a discussion on the elections in Ghana that brought opposition leader and former President John Mahama back in power. Stay with us.
In times of change, when the world seems uncertain, and what we hear doesn't reflect what we see, we seek the truth. When we are told only part of the story, we lose trust. In moments of crisis, our dreams, hopes, and wishes for a better tomorrow depend on a free press. At Voice of America, we bring you the stories that people take risks to see. We connect the world and unite it with truth. At Voice of America, we show you the whole picture.
Health, wellness, sport, beauty, medical breakthroughs. Healthy Living cares about your well-being. What are the main health concerns in Africa and around the world? Find out the latest on coronavirus. Connect with our experts and ask them questions.
How long does the virus stay?
Join me, Linoch Mudu, in Washington, every week on Healthy Living. right here on VOA.
The topic of gender-based violence is redundant to some, but it is one that cannot be ignored. The World Health Organization maintains that globally, one in three women, around 736 million, are subjected to physical or sexual violence by an intimate partner, a number that has remained unchanged over the past decade. On the next episode of Our Voices, we join the world in the 16 days of activism against gender-based violence and discuss what it is and how to eliminate it in families, communities, and nations. Join the conversation each week right here on Our Voices.
He's the best and he'll always be the best. Through him, our boys, our ladies, everybody, he or she will get a job to do. We've been suffering for more than 8 years now.
Today, Ghana will start to be reset because Ghana is going to enjoy the 24-hour economy. Ghana is going to enjoy a presidency who is going to rule the country with humility and not arrogance.
They should expect a good and competent president who is coming to provide jobs for the youth, because we are suffering. There are no jobs. There is jobs coming. And change is here.
So we want him to come and solve our financial problems for us.
I want the new president to be honest with us, to be loyal to us, and I want the new president to prosecute all those who are stealing the country's money.
Excellency John Dramani Mahama and Professor Jenanu Popajiman have promised that they are going to establish the National Women's Development Bank so that we can support our women, because we know that our women play a significant role when it comes to the local economy. And so I am very excited as a woman. She serves as a role model for me. She will also be there to champion gender policies, and I'm happy about that.
Welcome back. You're with Straight Talk Africa, coming to you from our headquarters in Washington, D.C. We're discussing the elections in Ghana. Former leader John Mahama won a decisive victory, promising to reset his country's economy and pledged a life of limitless opportunity for its citizens. Ghana is a major cocoa, gold and oil producer, but is experiencing a severe economic crisis and high unemployment. Voter discontent fueled Mahama's victory, but will he be able to deliver on his promises? My guests are here in studio, Kweku Nwoma, Professor of International Politics at American University, and in Accra, Kodjo Asante, Director for Policy Engagement and Partnerships of the Center for Democratic Development. Now, Kweku, you know, I was in Kenya when they held an election, the last election that brought President Ruto to power. People were ecstatic. They literally said God had brought them a person. This is a man who was anointed by God. It didn't take long. Those same youth and women were on the streets, and they were calling all sorts of names, including a liar, a conman, and all that. And he's having a hard time because he made so many promises that lifted people's spirits, gave them high hopes. What lessons can someone like President-elect Mahama learn from that?
Well, so we are walking into a crisis of expectation where you build people's hopes up and you cannot deliver right away. Hopefully, he has learned lessons from his own time as president, but also from the mistakes of the Akufo-Addo administration. You know, you have to provide something, some type of relief for the people. Immediately, he's going to do that. He's going to get rid of the e-levy, for example. So small things. But the big things that he's promised, he has to be transparent and let people understand that it's going to take time. Ghana's problems didn't start yesterday. It didn't start. I know people think that it started under Akufo-Addo, but that's not true. The NDC, if you go back to the Rawlings years, they've been running Ghana for the past 27 out of the past 43 years. They have been in charge. A lot of the problems go back to their time. It's not going to disappear tomorrow just because you have a new person in charge. You're going to have to engage your people, explain what's happening, and let them understand that there are things that we can do immediately, but there are things that are of a structural nature, and it's going to take longer, deeper thinking, including with our development partners, so that he's not going to be able to walk away from the IMF, for example. But the crisis of expectations, I remember you talked about Kenya. I remember when Barack Obama was elected president here, there was somebody in Kenya who was interviewed and said, I hope you can help me build a barbershop. He's not going to help you build a barbershop. Mm-hmm. Same with a lot of people in Accra and in throughout Ghana. Your jobs are not going to appear overnight. It's going to take a while. But if the president is transparent, as Kojo was saying, and let people understand that we're doing the best we can, we're making sure that we're not wasting your money, we're not, you know, engaging corruption, and also we are trying to hold the past government accountable, people are going to give him some time. There is always room for honeymoon, and things are changing because Mama is a different person, and we also have, for the first time, a woman vice president. Hopefully she brings some sensibilities to the governing process.
Yeah.
And so we're going to give him some time, but time will run out sooner rather than later.
Yeah, and that's quite significant. Education Minister, former Education Minister Nana Jane Apuko Ajeman.
So yes.
That's a first for Ghana also.
First for Ghana.
Female
very excited about
vice
that.
President, which can give us a hope for a future president.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but Kojo, in terms of looking back, it's true that John Mahama did actually do some things during his presidency that people did not probably appreciate, including infrastructure, you know, roads and all that. At that time, people were saying, we cannot eat infrastructure. But later on, especially during the COVID era, they did appreciate that. They realized it worked. They were beneficial. So you're saying, and again, I feel like you guys are really providing very good advice to him, is that, yes, he has made so many promises, but he has to be cautious how he delivers them and how he can assure the people that if they don't see results immediately, it's not because he has no intention of doing so.
Yeah, I mean, there's if you look at the Afrobarometer surveys, if you know the Afrobarometer public opinion survey that ourselves and a number of other organizations produce every 2 years, when Ghanaians were asked about the top five issues, infrastructure was the second after unemployment. It's also because a lot of the roads and have deteriorated over the years. So even the legacy that he left in 2012 to 2016, he's coming into a situation where a lot of these infrastructure, a lot of them probably broken down there. But there's also even a clamor for more. If you take the education sector, where there's been, you know, through the free SHS policy of the MPP, the incumbent, there's been a massive, you know, sort of increase in the numbers going to high school, also to university, and so on. And there's a challenge. We're trying to provide infrastructure to meet, you know, that enrollment. And so that is going to be another issue that he has to deal with, because they have been doing these double shift systems and people are not happy about that. So there's quite a lot of challenges. And there's no way a government will be able to resolve all of those things with all these multiple interests and expectations that people have. So as Kwaku is saying, it's the signaling. What do you do to show to the people that you are sensitive to their needs, you are sensitive to their plight? How are your government appointees behaving? If you know, how are they conducting themselves on the streets of Accra? Are they in their four-wheel drives with sirens, bypassing traffic and creating commotion for everybody? These are little things that people were really upset with the incumbent, you know, that they just didn't have that sensitivity.
Yeah.
So these are signals that in the first few days people are going to looking at. Is the second coming of Mahama different? And what is the evidence of that?
Yes, and you know, we'll all be watching. And I wanted to talk to him, and I hope I'll be able to talk to President Mahama soon. But one important question I would like maybe us to touch on a little bit is he talks about, he promises a life of limitless opportunities. And we know that, of course, Ghana has so much potential. It also talks about the 24-hour economy. You know, what, in your sense, does that mean? What does that, you know, kind of, what is that supposed to mean to Ghanaians?
Well, so the 24-hour economy is an interesting concept. Almost everybody's economy is 24 hours now in this modern age. So it's not something new. It's a question of, do we have the capacity to keep the economy going? Do we have the types of investments? We're talking about electricity. We're talking about cyber infrastructure. We're talking about skills training. We're talking about opportunities that allow young people who are the most desperate in Ghana. The unemployment rate among young people is twice the national average. Do we have what it takes? The entire labor force participation factors. So you just don't put a buzzword out there. It helps you win the elections, but people think that that's something that's coming, and all of a sudden, in 24 hours, they get a job. No, that's not going to happen. And so how he approaches this stuff, and he's really trying to turn a corner here. He's trying to say we have to take the next leap in our development. We have a lot of resources, but a lot of our people are still stuck in subsistence agriculture. We have all these young people moving to urban areas where there are no jobs for them. Well, Akojo was talking about the free SHS. Yes, we are growing people. We're growing skills. And Ghana's made tremendous progress. I don't want to go out and let people think that we haven't made progress. If you look at GDP per capita, 1991, just before we transitioned to democracy, it was $400 just before COVID hit. GDP per capita in Ghana was $2,400. So we've made progress. But that means that you also have an expanded middle class, which is consuming more, needs electricity, they need homes, they need bigger roads, better jobs in Accra. Now you have all these young people that are going through high school free of charge. They come out and there are no jobs. So he needs to get to work immediately, and he needs to explore all options. The 24-hour economy, it sounds fantastic, but it has to actually translate into real dividends that people can see and touch. People's lives have to improve.
Yeah, let me see if I can get a minute out of each of you before that we end the show. In terms of expenditure, you know, many governments in Africa are seen as being very wasteful, very lavish at the government level. At the same time, people are suffering. There's so much poverty. The president, the incoming president, for example, I think is promising to cut back the cabinet positions from 60 to 30. What more could he do to make people feel a bit comfortable about fiscal discipline?
Well, one of the things about the office of the government machinery, which is the president's, is that it has one of the largest budgets. The last count, it had almost 1,000 people under that office. You know, so the lean government, which is symbolized by the how big the cabinet is or the ministerial pool is a good start. But the real work is all the assistants and all the people that are hanging around at the presidency, beginning to reduce that budget, I think would also go a long way, you know, to make the government more lean and efficient.
Thank you. In 30 seconds.
So I think that Kojo is right. You reduce the size of the government, but more importantly, you don't appoint your family members, which Akufo-Addo has done. Hire people you can fire, people you can hold accountable. And so I hope Muhammad does that. He didn't have his family members in the government the last time he was in power. Hire people who are qualified, people that you can hold accountable and hold their feet to the fire.
Thank you very much. We have to leave it here. Thank you both for the thought-provoking discussion. We appreciate your time. Kweku Nwama, Professor of International Politics at American University, and in Accra, Kojo Asante, Director for Policy Engagement and Partnerships of the Center for Democratic Development. Thanks to affiliate stations for broadcasting Straight Talk Africa across the continent. I'll see you next time.